The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The HSE has launched a new campaign called You, Me and HIV. The campaign addresses misconceptions surrounding HIV and hopes to reduce the stigma that still exists in Ireland. It was developed in collaboration with HIV activists, HIV community groups, sexual health services and NGOs. Now, to explain more about the campaign, HIV stigma and sexual health services, we are joined by Professor Fiona Lyons, HSE clinical lead of sexual health and consultant in genitourinary medicine at St James Hospital in Dublin. And also in studio, Dr. Robbie Lawler, an HIV activist. Good morning and welcome to you both. Fiona, let's start with you. The stigma, do we know that it's still stigmatised or is that just kind of anecdotal?
Oh, there's nothing anecdotal about it, unfortunately, Pat. And it's not unique to Ireland. And I suppose it's such a huge problem internationally that UNAIDS have set a target that we need to have zero HIV-related stigma by 2030. So in Ireland, we do know from research that's been done that there's still quite a degree of stigma experienced by people living with HIV, both in the general population and within the healthcare setting.
Now, obviously, there's a lot of misinformation about HIV, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But first of all, we should go back to basics. I mean, people sometimes confuse HIV and AIDS, yes, although they are linked in the sense that one may lead to the other. But first of all, HIV, what is it?
So HIV is a virus. And like any virus, viruses aren't able to complete their life cycle and survive without having the assistance of a host. And in the case of HIV, that host is humans. So it finds a little place in the host, the body, to allow it to do its job.
Which and is it actually, the HIV. Name HIV, it does exactly what it says on the tin. It's human immunodeficiency virus.
So left unchecked without effective treatment, which is absolutely available now, left unchecked, the virus's job is to make more virus. And the collateral damage with that is that the immune system of the host who's accommodating this virus becomes progressively...
So the immune system is utterly compromised by this progressively, and then you end up with what is called AIDS, which is not one single condition. It's acquired immunodeficiency disorder, which may lead to lots of conditions.
Absolutely. Infections, and some of them are not infections as well. Some malignancies are more common in people who have unchecked HIV, such that their immune system gets to a stage where they may develop an AIDS condition. We tend not to use the word AIDS anymore because actually AIDS came before HIV because in the beginning, when this syndrome was being described, we didn't actually know what was causing it. And it was the clever people in NIH and in France and the US who worked out, this sounds like it's a virus. This sounds like it's an infection that's causing these syndromes, these collection of conditions in individuals. So HIV came after the AIDS. But again, as I said, because we have such effective treatment now, our objective is to get rid of AIDS.
The only people who might have AIDS are people who have not sought the treatment or didn't get it.
It may not be that they didn't seek it because they didn't know they needed to seek it or didn't know how to seek it, or they, for whatever reason, the care that we provide, the model of care that we're providing doesn't suit their needs. So there are lots of reasons potentially why people may not get to the point of having treatment early enough such that they don't get a condition that could be AIDS.
Now, you have in this program a kind of a fact check because there are a lot of bits of misinformation out there. I remember years ago when Princess Diana embraced a man who had AIDS. Now, he had gone on from HIV to AIDS, and it was extraordinary because people up to that were thinking, you better almost wear, your hazmat suit to meet a patient who had AIDS. You couldn't hold that person's hand, and she did all of that.
She didn't.
She went in without the suit, and she embraced.
She did. And in Ireland, Mary McAleese went into James's and met with Fiona McGuy and did the same thing. And I suppose the central message from this campaign is that effective treatment works. And when people are living with HIV or on effective treatment, they will not pass on HIV to their sexual partners. And that is fact. No argument about that.
So if you're on effective treatment, you can have conjugal relationships with your partners, you can have babies and the babies will not be born with any infection.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So with respect to sexual, you will not transmit to your sexual partners any kind of sex, no matter what kind of sex it is. If on effective treatment, people will not transmit HIV to their sexual partners. In respect of pregnancy, should people wish to become a parent, then if the person who's living with HIV is on effective treatment, there is very, very little chance that baby is going to be infected. And we know that if the person who's pregnant is on treatment before they conceive, then the chances are even lower because effectively no exposure to the virus to the baby at all during pregnancy.
And does the infectivity of a person who has got HIV, does that depend on the viral load that they may be carrying at any given time?
Yeah, so that's the marker that we use. So we mark the so effective treatment is basically when somebody's on has a suppressed viral load. So the virus has been switched off by the very effective medication we have that challenges the virus in a different stages of its life cycle, such that it can't make more. And then the collateral damage goes away as well, so the immune system can get better. And once people have a viral load of less than 200 copies over a 6-month period on treatment, the studies have shown both very robust clinical trials, which are done very rigorously, but also real world data from the partner study.
What are the services available and are they free?
Yes, absolutely. So since the beginning of HIV, care and treatment, once it became available, has been free to all people living with HIV. In Ireland, the only requirement for access to free care and treatment is that you are in fact living with HIV, because you wouldn't want to give it to the wrong person. So yes, all care is free, and there are currently 10 services around the country, and most of those are adult services, and there's paediatric services as well.
Now, Robbie, the question of people being aware that they are infected with HIV and what they do about it, does that depend on the age cohort? You'd imagine people who are out there sexually active would be careful and be watching out perhaps for symptoms. And when they saw any symptoms at all, they would go get checked, and maybe they get routinely checked anyway. But there are those maybe living in isolated areas who would not have the same confidence or the same kind of city-born anonymity.
Mm-hmm. You hit so many nails on the head there. Yeah. You don't know, like, that's a PhD in itself, no, Pat. But if I was to ask you what are the symptoms of HIV, you probably wouldn't know the answer. And many people don't. And a lot of the time, there's no symptoms of HIV. You might get a little bit sick 2 weeks after infection. It's called seroconversion, or you acquire HIV. But when I never had any symptoms of having HIV. And it wasn't until I was 21, I went for my very first sexual health check, and I got the shock diagnosis of my life because I didn't know HIV existed in Ireland. But what I did find out was that my immune system was actually quite low. My CD4 count was 237. And if it goes under 200, you're really opened up to getting AIDS to find an illness. So it kind of just shows that, like, you should just get tested if you're sexually active. It doesn't matter who you are or how you are, because if we really want to reach our targets of zero new HIV infections, zero AIDS-related deaths, and zero stigma and discrimination, everyone should get tested, even once, if you're sexually active, because it's the people who do not know their status that are passing it on. And let's scream this from the rooftop, because this campaign is a real, real celebration. Do you know, Fiona really mentioned it there, we can't pass on HIV, the risk is zero. So I'm with my boyfriend 11 years now, 11 years and 2 weeks time, still no ring on the finger, Pat, but that's a different story. And he's he's HIV negative, and we were actually part of the partner study to show conclusively that the risk is zero. So we haven't worn condoms in 7-8 years. Like, I'm the safest person he can have sex with, not to get HIV. That is the game changer here. And so every time we have sex, I tell him to say, thank you, Robbie.
Now, the question there, I mean, people listening and say, well, this sounds like it's exclusively a gay condition, and it is not.
It is not. It is absolutely not. Everyone has a HIV status, Pat. Everybody has a HIV status. And everyone deserves to know what their HIV status is, such that if they are living with HIV, they can get access to treatment. And yes, we do know that the diagnoses of HIV are disproportionately borne by gay, bisexual, and other men who have sex with men in Ireland. But they're not the only people, and anyone can get HIV. The virus doesn't discriminate against who. So if somebody is sexually active, as Robbie said, especially if they're changing sex partners and not using condoms, then they should consider that the right thing to do for themselves and for others is to have a HIV test, which is much more easy to access all over the country now than it was previously.
Can you do it at home?
So we have the free home STI testing service, which we launched in October 2022. Sends out about between 10 and 11,000 kits per month around the country to all 26 counties, with a return rate of about 70%. So we are picking up new HIV diagnoses as well as other infections through this new service that is free, done in the comfort of people's own home or wherever they may wish to do it.
Based on those stats about sending out those kits and so on, which would be a cohort of the total sexually active population, it looks like Ireland is very sexually active.
We wouldn't be here were it not for sex, Pat.
And thank God for that. That's what I want to say. Let's get rid of the shame around sex. You know, we live in a new generation and sex is more ubiquitous and there's less shame around it. And what we're here to do is to make sure that people have the best and healthiest sex that they can have. And it's not to have shame around the actual sexual acts themselves. But it's like, if you are having sex, these are the tools at your disposal to make sure that you are looking after your well-being and the well-being of those around you too.
Now, for those who have read into the myths, you know, you can get HIV from a toilet seat.
No.
Talk to me.
Categorically not. Mm. And, you know, so, I mean, whilst the central message of this campaign is about the impact of effective treatment on onward sexual transmission, and that is so, so important, regardless of whether or not somebody's on treatment, you will not get HIV from sitting on the same toilet seat, from hugging them. Everyone deserves a hug. Everyone deserves a kiss. You will not get them from letter from that. And Princess Diana, as you know, as you said at the very, very start, did a lot to debunk those myths. So categorically, toilet seats, hugs, kissing, cups, plates, knives, forks, no.
No.
Sex. No, regardless.
And yes,
but regardless of treatment of those factors.
Yes.
So people who haven't yet had the benefit of getting to undetectable, to getting to being on effective treatment for whatever reason, they deserve a hug. They deserve a kiss. They deserve not to have their clothing and their plates and cups and saucers segregated from the rest of the family.
Now, we know that HIV treatment is very effective. It used to be very expensive. Is it still expensive? I mean, it's free to the patient at the moment in this jurisdiction, but is it a very expensive commodity to buy?
I mean, lots of medicines are expensive, but categorically, it is economically, and regardless of the moral and ethical, you know, duty of care to people, economically, it's a no-brainer about treating people living with HIV. Economically, the having people well with HIV and not getting HIV-related illnesses is much more cost-effective than leaving the virus unchecked.
Is it possible, if you get to the point that you were scared, Robbie, that you had reached, that you might be, you even said the final illness in passing there, if you got to the point where they say you have now an acquired immunodeficiency disease, AIDS, can you reverse that?
Oh, you can.
Okay. Good news.
So I've been working in the area of HIV medicine. My first foray into it was with one of my heroes, Professor Fiona Mulcahy, back in 1993. And at that time, we had very little for patients. And so most of our time was actually spent trying to deal with the fallout, the collateral damage and the opportunistic infections, the AIDS-defining illnesses. And we've got a wealth of experience, and shout out to my amazing colleagues in intensive care who've kept so many people alive. And then with our treatment, we're able to get them back to full health. But it's a very long journey. And so if this campaign reaches one person and averts one person having an unnecessary admission to hospital or to intensive care and all the trauma that goes with that for them, then it has succeeded in my view.
What is the status of vaccination?
Oh, it's still a future horizon. We're not quite there.
You know, the great news on HPV vaccination, it's fantastic. Girls, first of all, and now fellas as well, are getting it in school. So that prevents cervical cancer and head and neck cancer in the guys. You know,
We don't have a vaccination, but what we do have is pre-exposure prophylaxis. Okay, so it's a pill. It's an HIV drug that you give to people who aren't living with HIV. And if they're exposed to HIV and they're taking it as prescribed, there's a little under 100% chance that they will not get HIV.
Yeah, it's an absolute game changer. The shorthand for that is PrEP.
PrEP, yeah. Exactly. The issue with it is that I think there's an 800 people waiting list in one of the hospitals, you know, so we have people who want to go on PrEP and be responsible for their sexual health. It's just that we don't actually have the infrastructure right now to give it, and the waiting lists are still very long. So that's one thing that we really have to mobilise around, because it's not a vaccination, but it's a really good way of us to reach those targets of zero new HIV infections.
And just in that respect, that has been a central focus for the work that we've done in the sexual health programme for the last number of years, recognising that whilst we have about 7,000 people on PrEP in Ireland at the moment, an estimate, we do have a significant unmet need. So we've been looking how to address that, including increasing the number of GPs who can provide PrEP. And we launched a PrEP e-learning program just before Christmas. And we have up to 50 GPs who are waiting to do that. So it'll increase the number of GPs who are able to provide it.
Now, you were talking there about the stigma at the beginning, which you say is real, not just in Ireland, but elsewhere. Robbie, how much is that related to maybe homophobia, which is still there?
Huge. Okay, so when we talk about stigma, we need to overcome fear and ignorance. So we need to get rid of these age-old myths that you can get HIV from kissing someone, living with HIV.
And that's what this program will do.
But also, there's many different aspects to it. You have to get rid of racism. You have to get rid of homophobia. You have to get rid of the demonization we use for people who use drugs or inject drugs. There's so many different things we have to do to fully remove stigma from HIV. But one thing that I see all the time, and one thing I love about this campaign is, we said what HIV stands for, human immunodeficiency virus, but a lot of time we lose the H, we lose the human side of it, and people just see us as vectors of disease or the sexual act or someone who uses drugs, and they kind of negatively see us, and that's where homophobia kind of fits into it. But what this campaign does, it just brings back the H, it brings back the humanity, because I call HIV my blessing in disguise, because I get to meet the most amazing people living with HIV who I never would have met before, because people who live with HIV are as diverse as Ireland is diverse. And one of the things that we hear quite often as the peer support that I give to people living with HIV are, I can't tell my parents that I live with HIV because they just wouldn't understand, or it would ruin our relationship. Or am I ever going to find love again? I'll ever find love for myself. Or me, you kind of feel isolated. You isolate yourself when you live with HIV. But what this campaign does is, we have two amazing women, Aoife with her dad, and the dad is just so in love with Aoife. And it's a real great message to parents out there. Ayanara and Peter are so in love, recently married. He's HIV negative. It didn't matter living with HIV. And me and Veda, who are part of the campaign too, we're best friends because of HIV, and there's a community out there. So it gets rid of all these negative ideas around HIV, as well as saying that we're zero risk.
Yeah. You mentioned Aoife and Pat Cummins, her dad, and the idea that the relief he feels in knowing that she can have an absolutely normal life, go on to have a family and so on, in spite of that HIV diagnosis. How visible will the campaign be, Fiona?
Oh, hopefully very visible. And thanks to you, Pat, for inviting us in today to increase that visibility. Yeah. I know, I think Aoife and Pat are off somewhere else at the minute as well. And then, so we're launching the campaign officially at 11 o'clock in Smock Alley. And there's an article in the Irish Times this morning, and there's another interview. So hopefully it'll be very visible. And the posters...
And on social media?
Oh yeah, to all of the HSC will be all looking at all the socials. And there are posters. The posters... So we did a campaign in January 2020. I remember getting onto the Lewis, going into work, and there was a campaign, a HIV stigma campaign, which had images of lots of different types of faces of people to kind of reflect that HIV doesn't really care. Mm. It can find a host. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't just wants a person to do its job. They were stock images that we took from files, whereas this time we have the real lives and the real faces of people living with and affected by HIV, which now, speaks volumes.
There is a confidential free phone helpline, 1-800-459-459. It's available Monday to Friday from 9:30 in the morning until 5:30 in the afternoon. And you can also email helpline@hse.ie, and you can email to ask for a call back, or you can leave a voicemail and you'll get a call back as well. It's a very interesting campaign, and I'm sure it'll be a very visible campaign. My thanks to my guests, Professor Fiona Lyons, HSE Clinical Lead of the Sexual Health Programme and Consultant in Genitourinary Medicine at St James Hospital in Dublin, and HIV activist Dr. Robbie Lawler. Thank you both very much. Now-
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.